Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Ed English, and tonight we're going to be talking to Michael Taylor. Michael is an entrepreneur, author, motivational speaker, and a radio show host. He considers himself to be an irrepressible optimist with a passion for the impossible. He's dedicated his life to empowering men to become better husbands, better fathers, and most importantly, to become genuinely happy with their lives, and therefore, he writes books, facilitates lectures, and provides a radio program dedicated to assisting men in this endeavor. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
Doing great. Glad to have you with us tonight. How are you doing?
Absolutely glad to be here.
Well, first and foremost, I want to invite our listening audience to call into the show if they'd like at area code 646-200-4071 with any questions that they have or just to chat with us. We also have our live chat session going if they'd like to post a response there and we can read it on the air. When the show is over, just so everybody knows, the podcast will be available for download or embedding in about an hour after the show completes. And we'll follow up on the show's website at readersentertainment.tv/radio, and you can find links and additional information there. Michael, I'd like to start off by telling our listening audience where they can find you online. I know you've got several places where you interact with people. Can you give us your website and where you are on the social networks?
Yes, the easiest way to find me is www.coachmichaeltaylor.com. That's Coach, and that's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, coachmichaeltaylor.com. And from there, they can go to all my social networking sites. It's all there on the homepage.
Right, and I've got your homepage pulled up here. I see you're pretty much span the gambit from Twitter and Facebook and Ning and MySpace. You're pretty connected, so to speak.
Yeah, we've got a pretty nice community of men all over the globe. And like I said, that's a great resource for any man who really wants to engage in this conversation and dialogue.
Well, now, I noticed we were talking before the show, and you mentioned that you have written a couple books, and your first one was several years ago that you were prompted, you were spurred to address the area of men's and being emotionally and spiritually empowered. So can you tell us about your books?
Well, first of all, I'll go back about 20 years and let you know how all this started, because
I had
lived the so-called American dream. I had the wife, the house, the 2.5 kids, and all of that. and I had climbed the corporate ladder. And so from society standards, I had succeeded. And so within a six-year time frame, I watched that dream turn into a nightmare as I went through a divorce, a bankruptcy, a foreclosure, and basically lost everything. And
wow.
As a result of that, I had to start asking myself some deeper questions, because prior to that, I was the guy that was always going to the get-rich-quick seminars and always trying to make a buck and always focusing on trying to get stuff, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until my divorce that I had to stop looking outside of myself. I had to really start looking within. And so instead of reading books on getting rich and making money, I started reading psychology books, philosophy books, spirituality books, personal development books, metaphysical books, and I started to gain a deeper understanding of who I was as a man. And what I found out was I had actually, my whole identity was wrapped up into my titles and my labels and my stuff. And
you know, I find that a lot of men are like that.
Yeah.
Including myself. I fall into that too.
I have to break away from that. And so as a result of this 20-year journey, what I've done is I've taken the lessons that I've learned, and I start putting it in books and tapes and seminars and lectures, because as you and I were talking earlier, as men, we all have the same issues. Most of us just are too afraid to discuss them openly, and that's why I think this new conversation with men is so important, because it's giving men an avenue to start talking about some of the issues, and also as we start discussing them, we start creating some solutions to some of the challenges that we face.
Now, your new book is A New Conversation with Men.
Correct.
But you said that you'd written a book several years ago as well that kind of brought you into this.
Yes, the first book I wrote back in 1995 actually was called Brothers, Are You Listening? A Success Guide for the New Millennium. And what I wrote, when I wrote that book, my whole definition of success back then was making money. But the reason that I titled a success guide, because I learned that success, true success, wasn't just about making money. It was about having great relationships. It was about having a spiritual connection. It was about taking care of your health. It was about having great relationships with your kids. And so I kind of took all those things and put them in the form of that first book. And as I have continued my growth and my commitment to personal development, a new conversation with men was sort of an extension of my first book. And my latest book, A New Conversation with Men, actually goes a little deeper because I get into things like what I call the five illusions of manhood, which are really waking men up because they go, whoa, what do you mean by that? And then I also talk about, you know, the five masks of masculinity, and these are the five masks that men wear that a lot of us don't want to talk about. And then I move into a chapter called Transformation, which is how do we wake up from those illusions and how do we remove those metaphorical masks? And so that's kind of where we are right now with A New Conversation with Men. And at the end of the year, my next book is titled Will the Real Men Please Step Forward? And so it's going even deeper to inspire men to become better men.
Well, you mentioned masks of masculinity. Can you kind of give us just a little glimpse into what that chapter's about, what those five masks?
Absolutely. Let me share those five masks. The first mask that, and as you're listening to these masks and as your listeners are listening, you'll notice that you probably relate to all five, but there's always a strong suit that we really relate to. So let me start with number one, because this is the mask that I wore for years, and that was the mask of Mr. Nice Guy. And the mask that I wore as Mr. Nice Guy was I always put other people's needs ahead of my own. I was always the positive, outgoing guy that everybody liked. And in reality, I was just always seeking people's approval. And so what I had to learn was when I went on my own journey, I had to learn that I didn't have to pretend to be that. And so by removing that mask and getting to the what I call authentic Michael Taylor, I really am a nice guy, but I don't have to pretend to be a nice guy like I was doing previously. And then the second mask that a lot of men wear is Mr. Tough as Nails. And you ever meet the man that never shows any emotion, he gets angry at the smallest provocation, and he's just always just disgruntled. And that's what I call the mask of Mr. Tough as Nails. And then the third mask that some men wear is what I call Mr. Moneybags. And Mr. Moneybags is the guy that always wants to prove to you that he has stuff. He's the guy that wants to show you his new watch. He wants you to come over to see his new TV. He's always bragging about his stuff and how much money he makes. And so that's another mask that a lot of men get trapped in. And then the fourth mask that men wear is what I call Mr. Sex Man. And that's the guy that always tries to prove his masculinity by sexual conquest. And this is the guy that's always relating to women as objects, and he doesn't realize that his need and drive for sex is actually because of his insecurities of his own masculinity. And the last mask that some men wear is the mask called Mr. Stuck in His Head. And this is the guy that analyzes everything, always trying to figure stuff out and doesn't know how to get out of his head into his heart. And so he wonders why relationships don't work, because he's so disconnected from his heart, he has to process everything through his intellect. Therefore, he cannot experience true intimacy in his relationships. So that's, you know, kind of where men really get trapped, because we live in a society that teaches us as men that we aren't supposed to feel. And so the worst expression of that is the Mr. Stuck in His Head who cannot express his emotions openly and authentically.
And sadly, I think that's the one that fits me best. Ah. You know, I was listening to those others thinking, well, yeah, I'm a little bit that, and I've got a little bit of this. I'm thinking, well, maybe he won't have one that really, really pegs me. And then you got that last one.
And so, again, what we have to understand as men is that these masks aren't good or bad, right or wrong. The question becomes, as a man, are we willing to be courageous enough to remove those masks so that we can be authentically happy with our lives? And that's what this dialogue is about. It's about challenging men to get courageous enough to go, you know what, I recognize that in myself. And maybe, if I remove that mask, I can be genuinely happy with my life. Because I will assert that the overwhelming majority of us as men aren't genuinely happy. We may have the stuff, we may have the jobs, the careers and all of that, but there's a piece missing that a lot of us can't put our finger on. And what it is, I believe, is that as men, most of us will not go on the journey of self-discovery to really discover who we really are. And that's what I'm about. I'm about empowering men to go on that journey. And so through my workshops, through my radio program and my books, I give men some tools to assist them along the way on that journey.
You make a good point about most men probably not seeking that kind of thing out. And, you know, from your personal story, you talked about how you went through a series of negative events in your life that really brought you to the point where you sought that out. And I think that's probably, you know, true of a lot of guys. It's you really have to hit a certain point in your life, you know, not necessarily rock bottom, but you have to, there has to be some, a wake-up call.
And
most guys never have that wake-up call. They go through their life with the blinders on, and they go to work, and they come home, and they go to work, and they come home, and they never really have that event that says, you know, you need to look deeper, you need to reevaluate yourself.
Well, you really nailed it, because that's the term I use, a wake-up call. Unfortunately, most men won't begin this journey unless they've had that wake-up call, be it a divorce, a DUI, losing their job, or something that says, you know what, I need to look at my life differently. Unfortunately, a lot of men will have those wake-up calls, but they still choose not to wake up.
Right.
They go through a divorce, and then they remarry, they go through a divorce, they remarry, and they don't get it. They don't stop to really start looking within themselves. And so what I do with my radio program and my work is I challenge men to really start getting honest and to be real with themselves and say, you know what, this is a wake-up call for me, and what I have to understand is I got to look at myself. And one of the most powerful statements I've ever heard is after my divorce, I was really having a problem with relationships. And this woman, who happened to be a friend of mine, she said something that shook me to my core, because as she and I were talking, I told her, you know what, I was blaming all the women in my life because all my relationships were ending the same way. Women were saying, I care too much about you to stay in this relationship. Now, that made absolutely no sense to me. And so I was talking to this lady about how can a woman say that they care about you and they leave you in relationships. And so she looked me dead in the eye, and she says, you know, Michael, if one person calls you a jackass, I wouldn't really worry about it. But if two or more do, you better get a saddle. And she said, you know what, it's time for you to get a saddle because you're blaming all the women in your life, but you're not willing to look at yourself. And when she said that, it literally just shook me. I was like, holy cow, that makes all the sense. And so I stopped blaming people, especially women, and I started looking at me. What was I doing that was causing my relationships not to work? And as a result of that revelation, if you will, I have now created a marriage that really works, been happily married for about 8 years now, and it's just a wonderful experience because I took responsibility for my participation in relationships. And a lot of men aren't willing to do that. And so that's why I think it's important to have this conversation.
Our guest tonight is Michael Taylor, author of the book A New Conversation with Men. And you mentioned that's also the title of your radio show. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, people can find you here at Blog Talk Radio. When can they find A New Conversation with Men?
Well, right now it's on Blog Talk Radio on Fridays at 10 p.m. Central Time, but I'm actually getting ready to move my show. Blog Talk will still be there, but I'm actually moving on March 25th. I'll be moving to the Unity FM radio network, which the Unity FM radio network is actually heard in over 60 countries around the world, and God, it's a pretty huge audience. But on my website, they can connect to the times and show dates of my shows.
Great.
So if they want to hear me on Blog Talk Radio or if they want to hear me on Unity FM, on my site there's information how to connect.
Great. Now, I'm really feeling you, what you're saying here, having been through some of the same things myself. I've been divorced and remarried, you know, I'm really relating with a lot of the things that you're saying about self-evaluation, and because I think I've been at a point in the past in my life where, you know, where I'm thinking, what's wrong with everybody else, and you know, through my relationship now. She's actually helping me to be a better man and be a better person and to actually stop and take those looks inside and say, you know, what's really going on here. Now, one of the things that you mentioned is a new paradigm of masculinity.
Yes.
And a lot of people get caught up with buzzwords, or you know, think, oh, you know, he's just all full of, you know, big talk or whatever. What exactly do you mean by that?
See, my definition of a paradigm is a rigid way of believing, thinking, and behaving. Let me say that again. My definition of a paradigm is a rigid way of believing, thinking, and behaving. So what I mean when I say a new paradigm of masculinity, the old ways of believing, thinking, and behaving as men no longer work. And so in the old paradigm, like myself, who was the husband, you know, the job, the typical so-called American dream kind of paradigm, most men get trapped in that without discovering who they are. And so in this new paradigm, I'm saying it's wonderful to have a family. It's wonderful to have a great career. But the fact is most of us are trapped in careers and relationships that we don't even like, that we aren't even happy in. I mean, a lot of us are making a lot of money, and we're absolutely miserable. You look at people that have a lot of money, you wonder, well, what is it that causes a person to be happy? They've got, it looks like all the external things. Well, the problem is it's not about the external things. We have to change our inner reality if we want our outer reality to change. And all that means is when we learn to recognize our beliefs, our thoughts, and our actions, then we can change who we are. And that's what it means to shift the paradigm.
Yeah, I know in the past I've kind of gone through life blindly, just, you know, going through the motions and doing, you know, what was expected or what I thought I was supposed to be doing, and whether it was, you know, getting married, having kids, you know, getting a career, going to church, whatever that was, I was just going through the motions more than looking at what does Ed English value
right
in life, what is important, what and focus on those important parts.
Mm-hmm.
But so what you're saying makes a whole lot of sense. About, you know, and I think, you know, men have been so conditioned to be macho,
mm-hmm,
that it never even occurs to them that, you know, that they have feelings that need addressed, and that they have, you know, thoughts and values and things that they can find important and work on and promote. So from what you're saying, you know, this new paradigm of masculinity, this new thought process, this new way of believing, you know, I'm not sure, you know, you, from what I see on your website, you have a very, very broad base that you are reaching. But it still seems like this kind of thing is undervalued in today's society. How do you think this new paradigm can change society if people really take a hold of it and, you know, it blows up, so to speak?
Well, here's the thing. If we really look at our society, I say the overwhelming majority of the societal challenges we face can be resolved by creating this new paradigm. Now, the first thing that we don't want to do is start blaming men for all the problems in society.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. So, but what I am saying is we live in an antiquated paradigm in which men have been disconnected emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically. Once we start getting men engaged in this conversation, what happens is all of a sudden men start learning to become better fathers. So then you have less single-parent homes. Not only that, when men learn to be better husbands and fathers, then you start decreasing the high incarceration rates. Because if you look at the incarceration rate, 70% of the people in the prisons don't have fathers in their life. Okay?
Hmm.
So when you look at statistics like that, you go, well, wait a minute. What can we do? Well, what we need to do differently is say, well, as men, if we shift this paradigm, issues like poverty is the result in a lot of cases of single women homes. If we help teach men to become better husbands and fathers, you start removing the poverty. Because there's no such thing as war on poverty. It's amazing how the government comes up with all these metaphors, which are actually incorrect. What I'm saying is if you want to remove poverty, we have to change the mindset. And when we change the mindset, especially from a male perspective, we'll start seeing an eradication of poverty. Obviously, another big issue that we have in our society is domestic abuse. We need to look at what is driving a man's behavior that causes him to to physically harm the person he's supposed to love. Well, the only way to do that is to get a man to look within himself to see what is hurting inside of him that's causing him to hurt the people he loves. Because in my judgment, only a hurt person will hurt another person. But what we do in our society, we start labeling and judging, but we don't create any solutions. And what I'm trying to do is create solutions, and that's what this new conversation with men is doing, and that's how I think this new paradigm can assist in removing some of the societal challenges we face.
Well, I see what you talked about, how those who were in jail, most of them didn't have a father figure in their home. So really these problems have just been perpetuating themselves for years, haven't they?
Absolutely, and that's what I talk about when I say the old paradigm. See, the old paradigm, you know, if you have any religious background, you know they say that teach up a child in the way that he should go. Well, if your father taught you how not to be if you didn't have a father, then how were you to learn how to be a father? If you didn't have the role models, if you will, to teach you certain things, how can we expect our young men to grow up knowing how to do them? Well, this new conversation is actually giving men the tools to help them become better men, which starts reversing that, what some people may call that generational curse. Because I've had several men that have actually written me from prison after reading my books and said, you know what, I've never looked at being a man this way. And what you've helped me do is take responsibility for my actions so that I can be a better father. And see, and that's the kind of stuff that really just warms my heart, because men are open to it. And as you and I mentioned, as men, we all have the same issues. We just aren't talking openly about them.
And exactly. So
what we're trying to do is create the dialogue, create the space in which men get to be real. And so one of the introductions to my radio program I use is that this is a place where men get to be real, because in this space they can say exactly what they feel. And most men don't know what they feel. They know what they think, but they don't
right.
know what they feel. And there's a huge distinction between the two.
So what's really the first step for a man to be able to, we talked about the wake-up call. For somebody who maybe the wake-up call is hearing this and saying, you know, I never really thought about that, and I need to address that. What's really the first step for them to be able to start looking inside and making those changes?
Well, the first thing that I always preach is responsibility. And responsibility is simply the ability to respond to the circumstances and situations in your life. Unfortunately, too many of us, we want to place blame. We blame society, we blame our wives, we blame the government, we blame everybody outside of ourselves. But it isn't until we say, you know what, I'm responsible for my life working. So I've got to do whatever it takes to make sure it works. And when you can get a person to move to that mindset that I am responsible for my happiness, then you start opening the door for transformation. Unfortunately, as you and I mentioned earlier, most men don't get to that point until they're in what I call total breakdown. Their life is just not working, and they don't have any other choice. And that's the point that I got to, you know, after my divorce and bankruptcy and actually contemplating suicide. That was the breaking point for me to say, you know what, I got to take responsibility for my life. So the first thing we have to do is just what you and I are doing, Ed, is have this conversation. Have a dialogue as men with men. And then what will happen is you'll start seeing more people gaining or joining what I call my new revolution in this dialogue, because dialogue creates actions. Actions create outcomes. So if we can create the dialogue to create positive actions, then we can create positive outcomes.
So you talked about personal responsibility, and do you think that it's that key factor? Is that the one major player, or are there maybe some other factors with men? I mean, to me, I think the biggest thing that men have a hard time admitting is that they have feelings, and when it comes to intimacy and relationships and being able to relate on an emotional level with their spouse or their partner. Do you think it's that personal responsibility that is the barrier to that intimacy?
Well, the barrier is men being trapped in the old paradigm. See, because so many of us are conditioned. When I didn't share the five illusions of manhood. Let me share those real quickly, and I think that'll sum it up. The first illusion of manhood we have is that to be a man, you must be non-emotional and disconnected. Most men's lives are driven by that illusion, that we aren't supposed to feel, that we aren't supposed to be connected. And that is, in my judgment, the foundation of most of the dysfunction we have in our society. Men don't know that it's okay for them to feel. And so we keep it all bottled up, and we become self-destructive because we don't know how to release the what I'll call negative emotions or negative energy that resides in our body. And so that illusion, that primary illusion, is the one that really causes the most struggle. So the second illusion that we have in our society, real quickly, the second illusion is that to be a man, you must have money and material possessions. So we get caught in this trap that we got to have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The third illusion is to be a man, you must have titles, positions, and power. And so, again, we have this idea that somehow a person with a title is in some way more superior than a man with less title, which is inaccurate. That's not true. The fourth illusion of manhood is to be a man, you must use sexual conquest as a gauge for manhood. Again, that's one of those things that really destroys the fabric of our society because men are going around trying to validate themselves by sexual conquest. And that, again, is an illusion. And the fifth illusion is that to be a man, we must outdo and compete against other men. So those are the five illusions of manhood. And when you look at those five illusions, everything that you just asked is related to one of those in some way. A man's inability to share openly with his wife is a result of him being trapped in the illusion that he's not supposed to be emotional.
Wow. You hit the nail on the head. In addition to being an author and a radio host, you also have workshops and programs. Can you tell us a little bit more real quick about those?
Yes, and again, the primary workshop that I'm doing right now is called A New Conversation with Men, and I'm doing exactly what you and I are doing. I'm sharing information to assist men in getting in contact with who they really are, because that really sums it up. We need to come to that place of being comfortable in our own skin as men, without the mask, without the illusions. And so for anyone that's interested in where I might be, if they'll just log on to the website, enter in their email address, I'll be glad to keep them updated wherever I'm going to be around the country.
So you've got a mailing list?
Yes. And again, right on the homepage there, if they'll just enter their email, they can just pop it in there and they'll get my email or let you know where I'll be.
I'll make sure I put mine in there right after we're done with the show.
Fantastic.
So just real quick, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but how has your life changed, your life, since you began sharing what you found with other men?
Well, I can't even put into words the joy, and that really sums it up. As men, I think a lot of us don't really connect, don't even understand, don't even feel authentic joy. As a result of all the work that I've done, I've gotten to that place where even if I wasn't speaking, even if I wasn't writing, I still have this sense of knowing who Michael Taylor is,
mm-hmm.
and that gives me great joy. But to go to a workshop and have a man have a breakthrough and a recognition of who he really is and say, Michael, thank you for that understanding, that, again, fills and warms my heart in a way that I couldn't put into words. So I think as human beings, we all have divine gifts. We all have special talents, and we should use those talents to make the world a better place. And that's what I'm attempting to do with A New Conversation with Men.
Great. Well, Michael, we're just about out of time. And wanted to thank you for being with us. Again, you can find him at www.coachmichaeltaylor.com. And again, my name is Ed English. Thank you for joining us on Readers Entertainment Radio. You can download the podcast at blogtalkradio.com/circle-of-7. Thank you, Michael, for joining us.
Thank you, and take care.
Thank you. Good night.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.